You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside. yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hoping you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we have much love and respect for you. Because you don't procrastinate. You get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives by going to timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. There will be programs that are dated, entitled, and consistently updated. And it's a ton of programs for many years, thanks to my brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. You know it. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times again, I give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans on Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 to 9. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. On Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays from 8 p.m. On Sunday, 5 p.m. on Sunday, from 5 to 6, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. His program is on Sunday from 5 to 6. Following that program at 7, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Mm-hmm. My days have been discombobulated for a while from the holidays and all kind of stuff. So I'll get back into it. We're going to read the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to get these computers together with my help of my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Hopefully I'll have them done by Monday. And we'll be back in the mix and be able to do some good things here on Time for an Awakening. Well, here on African Perspectives specifically, because I know Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, they're holding it down on Time for an Awakening. and the network is doing. You know, I really would love for, you know, we had more programs. I remember when I first came on Time for an Awakening, thanks to my good brother, Brother Ralph, out of Philly. Love Brother Ralph. And because he tuned me in when I was on Blog Talk Radio, and Blog Talk Radio is no more. Yeah. Yeah. Blog Talk Radio is no more. But, you know, there's some things happening in the future, you know, because my good brother Kwaku is going to make it happen. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. This is Baba Baruti's work. Two volumes. I'm still reading from volume one. I'm going to do volume one again. And I stopped by there. Me and my lady stopped by and seen Mama Ya and all the good work that they're doing at his home, getting ready for being able to expand the educational programs that he has. You know, he's doing some things, you know, on the, you know, on FaceTime and across the country. And, of course, around the world, there's a couple of students in Africa. I think he has one student in the U.K., you know. So Baba Baruti, man, is phenomenal. Good brother. Great mind. Put together the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought that I've been reading for a number of years now. And we'll continue to do so because it's a great piece to start our program. I hope you would agree. I know I do. I believe it. It sets the tone sometimes. I tell you, I have a topic, and I haven't read it. I don't read the Inyasa Sim until the day of. You know, I read the day before and the day of, and then the next that day before and day of. On weekends, I read the day before, the day of, and the day after because there's Sunday and Monday coming up, which is the second and the third. Okay. January 30th. Mask no difficulties, tell no lies, claim no easy victories, and hide nothing from the masses of our people. That's a great quote by Amilcar Cabral. That is a great quote. Mask no difficulties, tell no lies, claim no easy victories, and hide nothing from the masses of our people. Know that you will not automatically be loved by the masses. Our people's trust has been abused time and time again by the rank and file of Europeans, from liberal radicals to philanthropic conservatives, and sadly, even by a number of us who claim to be African-centered. It will take time for us to trust again. Oppression and exploitation teaches their victims that inverted golden rule of getting everyone before they get you, because you believe that that is their underlying intent. It makes you healthy. Secure relationships difficult. It makes healthy relationships secure and difficult, if not impossible, because everywhere we go, we expect to be cheated, thus creating a simmering, hostile psychological undercurrent. Extreme individualism makes trust, for the sake of trust, impossible. If we as Africans are to nation build, we cannot afford to be this way. We can no longer be European in our relationships with each other. I say, we can no longer be European in our relationships with each other. A zero-sum mentality can have no place in our personal space. Having it there would make us hateful toward ourselves and each other. There would be no trust or sense of family or culture, no unquestioning racial cultural loyalty. We must speak to each other in the language we ancestrally, spiritually should understand. We must be at peace as we commune with each other. Ma'at must again become our way with each other. Ma'at. Affirm, I establish trust so that love has a place to take root. Affirm, I establish trust so that love has a place to take root. That is serious in all relationships. Trust, brothers and sisters. I mean, yes, between you and your significant other, your compliment, no doubt.
No doubt it begins right there. Y'all must establish trust. But also your dealings with one another on outside of the family. I'm talking about, you know, I consider all of us family. You know, if you know me, I'm always saying, what's up, family? Because I believe that we are. But some of us who don't understand that, just like we said in the beginning of this piece, you know, I'm just materialistic and individualistic. So I got to get mine. I'm just going to get mine before they get me, you know. Sad. January 31st. Strong people don't need strong leaders. I repeat, strong people don't need strong leaders. Sister Ella Baker. Only weakened people need courageous individuals to set an example and or make them do what they know needs to be done, since they harbor a deep-seated fear of doing so because they would rather live in the delusional safety and security of civility than to die in the process of creating liberty for themselves and their posterity. Among a strong people, every person is a leader, as evident in their actions or in out of the presence of other members of the group. Each one individually is prepared to make a stand regardless of the odds, regardless of the number of enemies they face. Even when physically isolated from community, strong people understand that they are never alone. At one time, we were a strong people, even in a land where African strength is still severely persecuted, even by so many lost Africans. The fearlessness and power of strong individuals at the time are reflected in the likes of Robert Charles, an African man facing a mob of 20,000 intent on lynching him. He stood his ground and sent 20 of the best Europeans to the hospital and cemetery before the mob was able to fulfill its murderous appetite. Even though these barbarians could not see his ancestors and no other strong Africans were there to fight by his side, he knew he was not alone. He saw, he knew, he carried the rage of millions gone and to come. Ashe. Affirm, I am strong people. Affirm, I am strong people. February 1st. An unjust law is no law at all. An unjust law is no law at all. St. Augustine. Ma'at. I just mentioned Ma'at. Ma'at is the comedic goddess of universal harmony and justice. She also represents the principles of truth, righteousness, reciprocity, balance, order, and propriety. Has a force, the seven virtues of Ma'at. Has a force in the universe. Ma'at is the progressive, generative spirit that consistently moves and organizes all life toward equilibrium within itself and in relationship to others. Ma'at was the internal and normally practiced among our ancestors. Ma'at was internalized and normally practiced amongst our ancestors. We, like them, must think, speak, and practice Ma'at for and with Africans who would build a world beyond the limits of the European mind. But we must do this, not confusing this reality with that of our ancestors, thereby playing into the hands of insincere predatory deceivers. We must always remain cognizant of the fact that many Africans are incapable at this time of being any more than imitators of the beings who have taught to hate us and each other. We must also know that the divine state we aspire to as our people's warrior scholars is greater than us, because we are our own ancestors, and our first and greatest ancestor is the Creator. Knowing this, a warrior scholar's greatest strength against any other's people is anti-African science. Ashe. Affirm, I practice Ma'at among Africans. Affirm, I practice Ma'at among Africans. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. I practice my art. Truth, justice, harmony, order, reciprocity, balance. I practice my art. What are we going to talk about today, family? It's a good Friday, good weekend, getting ready for the weekend. Getting ready for the month of February. Tomorrow's February 1st, and of course on Monday we'll talk about the month, the importance of the month, and why I don't trip about what anything Europeans give us. To hell with them, they'll give you nothing. We established the month of February. They didn't give us nothing.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
And we established the month of February based on what Carter G. Woodson did and what he brought. So we'll honor Carter G. Woodson. And we'll honor the month of February as we learn about who we are. We need, don't you think if it wasn't Carter G. Woodson, if it wasn't February, we need something to remind ourselves of who we are, what we have done, what we did prior to our captivity, what we did during our captivity? Don't you think we need something to prior that let us know? Because it's not just American African History Month. No, it's African History Month. It's the continent. It's the diaspora. That's why I will always be pissed at these acquiescing Negroes on the continent for allowing the African Union, for the African Union capitulating to them crackers don't name it any longer African Liberation Day, but Africa Day. That don't sound like shit. No, African say what it is. Say what the day is, and the purpose of the day is to liberate Africa from foreign occupation. It's to liberate Africa from foreign imposition of education and all the other things that they brought with them. It is Africa's Liberation Day, May 25th. Can't wait to get there, African Liberation Day. But we're going to deal with American African History Day, and I've always called it African and American African History Day, you know, and we got to focus on that, the importance of history in the lives of our people, of all our studies. History is best qualified to reward our research, and I don't know if Malcolm said that or Elijah Muhammad said it. I don't give a damn who said it. I love the quote because the quote is spot on. History. Looking at the history has taught me about these Europeans. Analyzing. And that's why I love the book, Urugu. Dr. Marimba Ani's book, Urugu, I consider the Bible. Urugu. That African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior, analyzing the cracker for who and what they is. It's a great book. You know, there's some verbiage that she creates, do utamaraho, utamawaho, and stuff like that, the cultural ceiling, stuff like that. But the bottom line is knowing who you are and knowing who your enemy is. See, some of us don't even like to talk about, my enemies. You know, we all brothers. We all brothers and sisters in Christ. All that shit. Now stop it. Stop it. The European has never done anything. Everything he's done has been to the detriment of Africans. Everything he's done. from far as I'm concerned. You know, I've known some Caucasians on the fire department that were decent people. But I remember Imam Worf D. Muhammad. He said, you know, they're friends, but you cannot trust them as they cannot be trusting friends. They're friends. They cannot be the friends that you know if you're going to do something within the group of your people. That, no, they stand outside. They're not in that mix. And I don't give a damn what their intentions are. You ain't in that mix. Once again, we're talking about sovereignty. Once again, if you haven't listened to this program before, you should always know that this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. There is no other choice. There is no other alternatives. That is the bottom line. It's definitive. It is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That's Dr. Clark, Pan-Africanism or perish. And so to me, we continue to do that. We build towards that. That is the ultimate goal. That is the end game. I always talk about with us, what is our end game? What is it that we ultimately want to achieve? What we ultimately want to achieve is sovereignty for African people. It cannot happen here. It cannot happen in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. Looking at the history, you see this man has never done something. Look at it today. Look at it. Look at what these crackers are doing today. Look at this fool. And although I don't give a damn about the word president, you know, because I would never call Trump. If I see if it's a reference to him, and the word is there, automatically I put Trump. Now, if somebody comes along after his ass that is worthy of the title of president because of who or he or she is and how they govern, then I might do that, but I don't give a damn about this situation here, you know. But I can't stand this man. Look how he is governing. Look what he's doing. Look what he's saying about eliminating all these things, some of these safeguards. And I don't give a damn if he does or not, but the point being and how he's doing it and what he is saying, when he immediately said that this situation in D.C. with the helicopter and the smaller jet plane, passenger plane, coming in, and the helicopter where it was, somehow they say that the helicopter was up too high. I don't know. But the response of him was what? This is a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire. This situation is the fault of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because the FAA had diversity, because many organizations, that's why some of them are eliminating them, they had agreed to, for whatever reason, that they would look at that as a hiring mechanism because of the lack of representation of other people. And who has DEA affected the most? As I pointed out the other day, and that topic was, that was the topic. I pointed out the other day, who was it? Women! Just like affirmative action. Just like affirmative action that happened in the 70s into the 80s. Women. And mostly white women. They didn't do nothing. They weren't on that front line. They weren't there picketing. They weren't there fighting. They didn't go to court. But I understand. You know, there's some who tailored affirmative action programs specifically for us in our situation. You know, my good brother Jim Wimbush out of Chicago, he did him and brother Les Outerbridge and the, it's called then Afro-American, but the African-Americans Firefighters League. And but still today, and contained in what they did is still applicable if, you know, and acted upon. They still have some language in there that they can utilize, because their numbers, like all numbers in the fire service, are dwindling, going down big time. But it's always a battle. Without struggle, there is no progress, Frederick Douglass. It's always about struggle. I have no problem with that. But what are you struggling for? I don't want to struggle with these crackers just for them to look at me objectively and respect my humanity and so forth, and allow me to utilize my special skills or whatever to ask. No, I could give less than a rat's ass about that. Our struggle is for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. That's what our struggle's for. That's what we're about. Yeah. So we're gonna deal with. There's a newsletter that's the Atlanta. The Atlanta Voice, and I'm going to read from the newsletter, the Atlanta Voice. There's a couple pieces here that we're going to talk about. And, of course, you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Glasses on. Trump outlines America First agenda, what it means for American Africans. While the policies aimed to bolster what the administration calls America values and safety, American values and safety, they carry profound implications for American Africans and other marginalized communities. Yeah. Trump has unveiled his American priorities, which include measures addressing border security, economic policies, government restructuring, and social values. While the policies aim to bolster what the administration calls American values and safety, they carry profound implications for American Africans and other marginalized communities. Border safety and immigration. See, that messed up already. Trump plans to reinstate hardline immigration policies, including ending catch and release, reinstating the Remain in Mexico program, and expanding the border wall. The proposed suspension of refugees resettlement could disproportionately affect African migrants from the continent and the Caribbean nations who seek asylum in the U.S. Increased deportation operations targeting undocumented immigrants, including those with minor infractions, may further contribute to fears of racial profiling and discrimination in the American African and immigrant communities. Additionally, deploying the military, increasing the National Guard to the border, raises concerns about the militarization of immigration enforcement. The designation of certain cartels as foreign terrorist organizations could lead to border enforcement measures that risk overreach and collateral harm to immigrant populations, many of whom are African. Yeah. The immigrants. I think, you know, as I read this, I can't help but think about, you know, all the millions of indigenous people who are here on this continent, who are here from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South in this country, let alone in Canada and in what is now Mexico. Once again, when the European decides he's going to do something, he's not coming to barter. He didn't come here to trade. He came to take. He deemed those who were here less than human. He had a religion that backed up his move to take other people's stuff. They taking it in the name of God. I always like to look at that poster with the angel flying, has the Caucasians move westerly, you know. Like what they've always done, family, is brought the three D's: death, domination, and destruction. Death, domination, and destruction. These are some evil people. Some evil people. You're talking about immigrations. Economic and energy policies. Trump's plan to make America affordable and energy dominant again centers on reducing costs through expand energy production and deregulation. While these measures aim to lower living expenses, they could have mixed consequences for American Africans. Communities of color often bear the brunt of environmental harm caused by deregulation industries and fossil fuel expansion, raising questions about long-term health and environmental justice. The administration's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord and rejection of renewable energy investments could also slow progress in creating green jobs, an industry where American African workers have begun to gain traction. I'm sorry, family. This is some stupid. Here, the world sees that what has happened since the 1800s and into the last century, the 20th century, the 1900s, and now here in the 21st century, the 2000s, from a climate standpoint, it has been detrimental to the damn planet. The planet is warming. And the cause of it, one of the major causes, is the burning of fossil fuels. Is the burning of oil, gas. And yet this man, now if you remember, there was a pipeline that they wanted to run out of Canada through the Dakotas and down to the South. Maybe you remember that? Yeah. Thanks around the Thanksgiving time when he was president. And of course, he had investments in pipelines. And so they took a heavy hand approach. And they wanted the pipeline to run through South Dakota, I believe it was. I don't know. One of the Dakotas and one of the major cities, and they said, no, you're not going to run a pipeline through here. And they didn't say anything to the indigenous people. All they know that they had the land that they were put on by the government. So now this is the land. You know, that's how they do it. That's how they did it. The indigenous people said, well, we want this land. Okay, then. As a compromise for all the other land that we stole, then here you can have this land. No. They stole it all. They said, here, this is where you're going to be. Now, if, of course, if something happened to that land that was beneficial to Caucasians, they took that land. Oh, they just did whatever the hell they wanted. They had treaties, did some signed treaty didn't mean a damn thing. No, these people are liars. You think a treaty, if you write into a treaty, that means that once you sign it, that is the truth. That is the deal. That doesn't happen with these people. Those things weren't worth the paper they were printed on or wrote on or agreed upon. And so they just went right. They didn't ask them. They didn't consult with them. They didn't notify. They just did it. That's why they were out there protesting. And you had other groups and other entities out there protesting with them. And of course, I've just mentioned the time of year it was. They were spraying water on them, as cold as it was, on the protesters. Just evil ass people. And of course, it happened. Trump was president. Trump was in the office. How about that one? Yeah. I can't stand to mix his name with that title, although I have no reverence to the title in this country of anybody, including Obama. Not one has been worthy, not even JFK. So anyway, so that's, you know, they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. Jimmy Carter, who recently passed, lived to be 100, the oldest living president, the oldest office holder in the history of this country. But when he was in, he put solar panels on top of the White House, leading by example of what we should do. And the first thing Ronald Reagan did when he got in office was take them down. Take those solar panels down and get his buddies in the oil industry back into mix. In fact, they bought out wind and solar for a minute. Yeah. So that's all you had to deal with. No, there was no solar. There was no wind. Then later on, of course, there were wind, and you probably were driving through the, you know, countrysides, and you seen wind farms. Yeah. No. And that's why the situation is the way it is today, family. And it's going to get worse. This is a denial of reality. Government reform. In his pledge to drain the swamp, Trump proposes freezing hiring in non-essential areas of the federal workforce with a specific focus on reducing diversity, equity, and inclusion, the DEI initiatives. This could result in fewer opportunities for American African professionals and reduce attention to addressing systematic inequalities in federal agencies. Because they've always been there, even though we had affirmative action, all the other stuff, and the DEI, they will always be there, and now they will be emboldened to be there even more. And you have many companies and many entities that says we're not going to deal with DEI. And of course, you heard that idiot talking about we're going to a merit system. There is never any merit. There's always affirmative action for Caucasians. Plans to reduce remote working among federal employees could disproportionately affect African workers who have often relied on flexible arrangements to manage systematic disparities such as longer commutes and caregiving responsibilities. Social policies under Bring Back American Values. Bring back American values. Trump has vowed to uphold traditional gender definitions and push back against what he terms radical gender ideology. While the policy may resonate with some, critics argue it risks undermining protections for LGBTQ individuals, including American, African, transgender, and non-binary people who already face high levels of discrimination and violence. Additionally, the administration's promise to rename American landmarks to appropriate honor U.S. history raises concerns about erasing the recognition of African leaders and history figures in public spaces. Yeah, they... Yeah. The Gulf of America. Yeah, yeah. Calling Denali, who the indigenous people said is the highest peak on the North American, on this side of it, or north of what is South America. We're going to rename it back to William McKinley. Only because they got it in the time of his administration. It ain't like he did anything. It was William McKinley. But that's the thing. We don't want acknowledgement of anybody other than who we say and what we appropriate and what we agree to. Implications for American Africans. Trump's America First agenda represents a mix of challenges for American Africans. Policies targeting immigration, environmental regulations, and government reform could exacerbate existing inequalities, while the rollback of DEI programs threatens to stall progress toward racial justice. As the administration prepares to implement these policies, the impact on American Africans will depend upon how federal and state agencies carry out Trump's vision. Critics warn that many of these proposals risk further marginalizing American African communities in an era of increasing social and economic disparities. No administration can ignore the lasting impact of its policies on communities already fighting systematic barriers, a civil rights advocate said. Stacey Brown, he's the writer of that article. Yeah. So we're going to get off into the other piece. Yeah. Of The Voice. Let me see. Let's go back. Yeah, let's do that. How about that? We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, yeah, we're going to we're going to deal with what to do now. 10 action steps for the next 4 years. This is Keith Boykin's piece. And of course, Keith Boykins, I played him a lot. He's on point with a lot of things, you know. So we're going to deal with that when we come back. And so I hope that you will stay with us here on African Perspectives on this Friday, the last day of January 2025, and of course the new day of American African and American African History Month. African and American African History, that's how you should say it. I know you, Black History Month. And then Morgan Freeman's ass, I don't want no Black History Month. There's a White History Month. Morgan Freeman. Man. You know, because some of us have been able to move within their circles very fluidly and get respect about who they are as actors, as singers or entertainers, as athletes, as politicians, you know. And so they think that, you know, this society, you know, it's a little rough, but, you know, it has its charm, it has its graces, it has its opportunities. This is not for us. It never has been. It never will be. This is not for us. You know? The history proves it. It is not for us. So, we're going to take a break. We come back from the break, we're going to get off into the 10 things that Brother Keith Boykins thinks is something we need to do to shield ourselves and become active within the onslaught of what Europeans are doing because of Trump and his cohorts. And I mean, man. You know, it's a damn shame that this man is talking about merit when you look at his cabinet, you look at the people who he's appointed. Oh gosh, and then talk about the situation that happened is because there were DEI hires, and understand this. I played for you the sister who's talked about the DEI, who was in the pecking order of the DEI. You know, women, people with disabilities, Latinos, so forth and so on, the LBGQ, and then, of course, last was us. I don't give a damn about the order that she said anyway, but the bottom line is the people in this country, not just the Trump people, even outside of them, when they talk about, when it is talked about, because they came under the fact of what we have always done is advocate and try to push this government to do things right in a way. And many people have benefited. That's why I love to see sometimes on Facebook an individual, particularly Hispanic, who's saying if it were not for them marching, fighting in the streets, they didn't do it. Everybody wrote. And so when it happened and legislation happened, it was broader than just specific for us, the ones who had suffered because of it and then suffered trying to fight it, to initiate it. Yeah, family, I tell you. We'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives. Here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Stick with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hey!
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Larry Graham, Graham Central Station, the jam. Oh, man, I tell you. The 70s, family. The 70s. Can't beat it, man, I'm telling you. The 70s. Let's get back to what we were talking about. And of course, we're going to have some other brothers and sisters calling in, I hope. But if you don't, I know there are a few of us who definitely will call in and give us their African perspective as we deal with the issues that are affecting our people on this day. What to do now? 10 action steps for the next 4 years. This is Brother Keith Boykins. And if you go to YouTube and punch him in, he has a lot of material. A lot. Trump brings daily chaos. Here's how to stay focused, not just to survive the next 4 years, but to win the future, hopefully. There's so much going on right now that it is impossible to keep track of it all. And that's the point. They want us to be overwhelmed so we can't keep up or fight back. But today, I want to give you 10 action steps you can take to stay engaged and make a difference and protect your peace. Yeah, let's see what happens here. Trump brings daily chaos. It's a picture of brothers and sisters with U.S. flags on the march from Selma to Montgomery to support the 65 Voting Rights Act and 2015. Johnny Miller, my good brother Johnny Miller in Milwaukee, came to visit me. He wanted to go down to the Selma, wanted to go to Selma for the commemoration. And so many of them went down. And I tell you, man, it was interesting, but there was areas of Selma that looked like it probably did in 1965. And that was 2015. That's the 50th anniversary. You know, this is the 60th anniversary this year. Yeah. And so, you know, I look at these particular milestones, you know, for us, and I try to analyze them and look at them from an African-centered perspective. And what progress and how serious it was for us. And it's still, I mean, just like this, the voting rights, you know. And people get mad at me because I don't vote. You know, that it's your civic duty, you know. I truly had something to vote for. I mean, you know, I voted for Barack the first time, and I was under delusions of grandeur, I guess, you know. But I had never voted for a Caucasian, never. Should I have voted for Kamala? No, not really. You can see that. Yeah. They stole the election. Yeah, this time. You know, Trump tried to say that happened. No, but this time it happened. Black vote, black power. A collaboration between Keith Boykin and Word in Black examines the issues of what's at stake for American Africans. There's so much going on right now that it's impossible to keep track of it all. And that's the point. They want us to be overwhelmed so we can't keep up or fight back. But today, I want to give you 10 steps you can take to stay engaged, make a difference, and protect your peace. The new administration is breaking laws and pushing boundaries in a desperate attempt to remove the guardrails that protect democracy, weaponize government, repeal civil rights laws, erase American African history, platform billionaires, open up a concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay. I said this the other day, and I've said this before on this program. It is always interesting to me that the issue of Cuba, because I grew up when Nikita Khrushchev of Russia was going to send some missiles into Cuba, and that's the time of Kennedy being the president. They're going to send these missiles into Cuba, and of course, at the time, the schools were having air raid drills. You go out in the hallway or get under your desk or so forth, and yeah, Cuban Missile Crisis, you know. I knew how long ago that was, exactly. It was 60 years ago. And, you know, and it reflect again when I watched one of my favorite movies, and I hope that it's one of yours too. If you're not, go please check it out, and that is A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson as Colonel Nathan Jessup, and Tom Cruise as Kathy, the attorney, the military attorney, Demi Moore, and many others, you know. Keith Sullivan, you know, you can't handle the truth. And he goes to Guantanamo Bay. And, you know, for the United States to have a military base on a country that has been they perceive as an enemy, I'm quite sure the United States would not allow any country to have a military base either in Alaska, Hawaii, or the continuous continental states. But yet, the United States has over 140, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody out there, correct me if I'm wrong, over 140 bases around the world. Around the world. So it could drop a bomb on your ass in minutes or make an attack or withdraw an attack, whatever the case may be. The United States is the military arm of white supremacy, or better, as I like to call it, got it from Brother Paul, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Let me break it down to you. Caucasians started calling them that from the Caucasus Mountains, the dividing piece that, you know, said that west of that mountain range is a new continent, Europe, the European continent. Europe is not a continent. And the more that we fight back on there and tell them that, no, Europe is not a continent. It's the western part of Asia. But European Caucasian, extremism, no, they're not superior. In fact, they're deeply inferior with deep complexes about their existence. No, but they are extreme. They're very extreme in how they deal with other parts of humanity and each other. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, because they created this concept that there's no such thing as race, family. Race is not a real concept. Europeans created the concept of race, giving themselves the top position, everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. You can look up Carol Linnaeus, Johann Blumenbach, out of Germany. And there's another one, too, who created this concept of race. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. They have taken privilege that whatever they do, they have the privilege to do it. To take your stuff, rename it. Take who you are and rename you. That's why I say I reject any and everything that the European, the Caucasian, Urugu, the cracker, the hunky. You ain't heard that in a while, have you? I bet you haven't heard that one in a while. The hunky presents to you because he has never meant any good. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. White supremacy. Guantanamo Bay. So they want to develop a concentration camp for immigrants. If they can't send them back to the countries where they came from, they'll put them in this concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay, just like they did the prisoners from 9/11. Man, I tell you, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just with my algorithms, but I've been getting so much good stuff about 9/11. We're going to have a very good time September 11th of this year. Believe me, we're going to probably have to, you know, do it a few days because I'm just getting constant information on the 9/11 piece. And it's not like I didn't have information before, although I would say that a lot of stuff that I did have no longer was on YouTube. You know, it took a lot of stuff down. Yeah. Revoke LGBTQ rights, disrupt vital government programs, purge government workers, pardon an army of militant insurrectionists, endanger the lives of former government officials, fire government watchdogs, and threaten Mexico, Canada, Greenland, Colombia, and Panama. My friend Jim Winbush said, he said, I should go to Greenland. It's like I would be the black of the part of red, black, and Greenland. Black and Greenland. Yeah, okay, man. I love it. Trump's actions on DEI are an attack on American African people. No doubt about it. As I said, we were not main beneficiaries of it, but the perception has always been, much like everything else, it is about black and brown. Okay? And we've only just begun. So we are going to do, so what are we going to do about it? I spent 4 years covering the previous Trump administration as a political commentator for CNN, and it was exhausting. Nearly every day, there was a reckless tweet, an unvetted announcement, or a new law or norm broken. What I learned is that Trump is a chaos agent who needs so many distractions as possible to stay in power. Trump 2.0 is here, and so is the new African resistance, American African resistance. Yeah? Well, let's see. So here are 10 action steps we can take to stay focused, not just to survive the next 4 years, but to win the future, hopefully. We'll say. Stay informed, but not overwhelmed. We cannot tune out and sleepwalk into fascism, but neither can we allow ourselves to become depressed by the enormity of the challenge. So don't try to do everything. Start by following your expertise and interest. Focus on issues important to you and protect your peace by stepping back from all the trees in front of you so you can see the larger forest. Number two, share truthful, factual information with friends, families, and followers. Part of the reason Trump is in office today is because the right wing built a media infrastructure to serve as an echo chamber of lies and misinformation. It's your job not to recirculate that propaganda. Instead, seek out reliable truth tellers and factual posts. Share them regularly and widely with your friends, family, and social media followers. Do not share misinformation unless you're rebutting it. Raise your voice to elected officials. I know it's old-fashioned, but visit the offices of the people representing you or write a letter. A study by the Open Government Foundation during the first Trump administration found that in-person visit, personal letters, and social media were the best tools for being heard by members of Congress. Share a personal story of how an issue affects you. The more effort a constituent puts in, the more engagement and impact they can expect. As a political commentator, Reese Colbert notes, target vulnerable Republicans who won their races by less than 2% in those districts, those Republicans, whether on a local level, state level, or national level. I added that. Number four, run for office. The people in Congress, your state legislatures, or city council are no smarter than you, and that's sure enough true, and you know it. So launch your campaign. Talk about the issues that resonate with you and your community. Raise some money and run for office. Go to court. Number five, your state attorney general or practicing attorney, you probably already thought of this. Even if you're a government worker, a federal contractor, or a private citizen adversely affected by the right-wing MAGA policies, call a lawyer and sue for your rights. Reward the good. Number six, we have economic power in where we spend our money. In fact, of the current anti-African assault, some companies like Costco, Delta Airlines, Paragonia, Apple, Pinterest, and even J.P. Morgan Chase are standing behind their DEI programs. Support American African-owned businesses that are down for the cause and businesses that support you. Donate to nonprofits and organizations that work on issues important to you. If you're not ready to boycott, try a buycott or a buy-in. Don't spend your money. Don't spend your money. You know where, hey, you're not respected. Number seven, punish the bad. The list of companies capitulating to Mega's anti-DEI threats is long. Target, Walmart, Meta, McDonald's, Ford, Coors, Amazon, Lowe's, and others are rolling back their DEI programs. Some are easy to quit, but others are integrated into our lives, making it difficult to cut them off completely. So let's organize creatively to develop new ways to make an impact. We may not get everyone to participate in an endless boycott of all these companies, but we can create targeted campaigns that leverage pressure points to achieve specific goals. Create a conscious culture. Now more than ever, we need music, film, art, TV, culture, and institutions that reflect and protect us. If we have that platform, don't be afraid to use it to tell our stories. And if you're not an artist or a content creator, support those who are. Number nine, organize for the short term. Trump is a 78-year-old man who looks like his ass will be dead any moment. That's me talking. With his flat, funky ass. We have special elections, gubernatorial elections, mayoral elections taking place this year, midterm elections in 2026, and another presidential election in 2028. We can't wait until the last minute to organize. So let's get busy now with voter registration, education campaigns, instead of scrambling to put together in the final few months of the next election. And last, plan for the long-term game. The crises we're in now didn't happen overnight, and right-wing conservatives have spent the past century slowly plotting to roll back the workers' rights, the workers' gains of the 1930s, the civil rights gains of the 60s, the women's rights gains of the 70s, and the LGBT rights gains of the 2000s. Conservatives knew that Trump, or like him, or senators, or members of Congress came and they come and go. But long-term control of the Supreme Court would set us back. Now they have it. And it's our job to develop our long-term strategy, build our own media infrastructure, and create a different future for us. These 10 steps are just a starting point, but we can do this and so much more. Now let's get to work. Brother Keith Boykins, New York Times bestselling author and TV producer, and you've seen and you've heard him on this program a number of times along with others, because I like to present people to us that I think have some relevant and salient points to be made about this whole situation, and he definitely does, and there's others. Brother Irv, what's happening?
Baba Oshi, Baba Oshi, thank you for taking my call. Thank you.
You got it,
Baba,
man.
Oshi, brother, I'm sitting here listening to you, and you actually called Donald Trump funky, man. Come on now.
Well, y'all, everybody say you can see that motherfucker stank, okay? They already talked about it. He's been peeing on himself. His breath like a stank. He's a fat, flat ass, big, fat, flat ass funky. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I think a number of those prognosticators have his ass dead by either this year or next year, you know, because, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it won't be no love lost for me if something happened to him or anybody that is around him. He has, Baba Oshi, what the American Africans are into right now, they're into the I told you so game. Every time I turn on some type of media, this Roland Martin, or even I turn to Baltimore stations where I'm from, and there we told you he was going to do this. We told you, y'all listening to me now, ain't you? And Baba Oshi, that type of conversation doesn't help anybody. As a matter of fact, admonishing people and telling them how wrong they were, and I know everything, and you are only as smart as me, and why ain't you listening to me? And those types of things don't make people stand up and want to fight. It makes people feel small. Mm-hmm. And this is what Donald Trump did in his cynical way. He lifted up them hillbilly trailer park, white trash, ain't got nothing, can't come to my club. He lifted them up and he made them into something. I don't want to get to preaching, but he made them into something that they weren't. Mm-hmm. And what it was they're better than you. They've always had privilege, but they never had no money. And white folks in this white supremacist mindset, in this white supremacy that we live in, they would rather starve than to give you any type of privilege. In other words, I've seen where they wouldn't let, in the history books, where they wouldn't let black people come to their store to spend your money.
Yeah.
I don't want your money.
Right.
I don't care how much money you got. You black. Right. I don't want your money.
Exactly.
So they'll cut off their whole damn face if they cut off their nose. That's how ignorant they are.
Into their restaurant or into any establishment for that matter. I mean, you know, once again, Brother Irv, look at the history. When you analyze the history of our sojourn in this messed up land, look how we've been treated. Look how adversarially we've been treated. Look how we've been degraded and demeaned. Look what has happened. You know, I mean, you're talking about after our captivity and enslavement, you're talking about you know, the reconstruction period lasting only 10 years. Of course it only lasted 10 years. Surprised it lasted that damn long, just like affirmative action. Surprised it lasted that damn long when you consider the mindset of the people that we're dealing with. And these people, you know, they came up with lynching, convict leasing. You know, I mean, all these things that they had to destroy African people and who we are. And yet we still rise. We're still here.
And Baba Oshi, I don't mean to cut into you, but that's because they did not kidnap stupid people or the dumb people or the weak people, because the weak Africans didn't make it across the water. Mm-hmm. The strong Africans made it here. So we come from a people who made pyramids, Baba Oshi. Come on now.
Yeah.
You can't. They still don't know how. Pyramid K gave me the best answer to how these structures were created. But you're talking about a people that could move a 10-ton block of stone and then carve it with none of this metal and things they had today. They can't even figure it out. So, of course, they said it was aliens. It couldn't have been black people.
Yeah.
So we couldn't do that. But no, but Baba Oshi, we as American Africans have to understand that this is, they can't get rid of us. And then we're not going to leave until we get ready to leave. And I believe we've been ready to leave this country for a very long time. We don't have dual citizenship to our homeland as do the Jewish people. They have dual citizenship, as do Koreans. They may have dual citizenship. So my point is we're in this country and we're masquerading around as if we are American. Mm-hmm. We're masquerading and we live in a place of comfortability. In other words, Baba Oshi, we are, you know, I got me a Mercedes in the house. Okay, but do you have any dignity? Do you have any integrity? Because this man and his friends, this ain't just start today. This started with Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. This started even before Ronald Reagan.
Right.
They've been putting together this Christian nationalist thing since Jerry Falwell. Come on, now I go way back because these are the things that they put in my head because he who owns the media owns your thoughts. Don't tell me they doesn't. They don't because they do. That's why you think one and one is two, because you were told that. And that's in you. That's indoctrinated into you. And that's why you see black people trying to turn on each other. There's no time to turn on each other right now. It's time to look in the mirror, love the person you see in the mirror, and then put your boots on the ground and get to work. If you don't know what type of work to do, ask somebody. I'm just saying, don't get caught up in, Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson is one person. You know, Al Sharpton is one person, informant. He's one person. We're not going to deal with all that name calling and you did this and you did that. I'm talking about the right now. Let's get to work, do what we have to do. Know that you're African. If you're not in Africa, Africa is in you. Okay, and that's what we have in common. That should be the glue that brings American Africans together. We can circle our wagons the same way Caucasians do. If we've gotten this far on this country, in this country, as fragmented as we are, what do you think would happen if we all got together? Amen. Amen just means you agree. I'm just saying, we would be a force to be reckoned with, because we are people, a strong people, with melanin. Stay with me, Baba Oshi. I'm just saying, we don't have to beg and ask for things. We're going to ask them to do this. We're demanding, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
We're demanding things. We don't. I'm not going to Target. I'm not going to shop at Target. I'm not shopping at none of them. I only go because I have to go.
Right.
And when I don't have to go, I don't.
I ain't going to go.
And I don't.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Exactly.
Come on now. We are in a place of power right now. And once you realize how powerful you are, then you start to come out of this place that we are in our mind. And we understand that these white people practice cognitive dissonance. I've seen the guy on the confirmation.
Yes.
They asked him a question. He told a straight lie to the lady's face. She said, but sir, it's written in the book that you wrote. wrote. He said, I don't believe in that. You wrote it. Come on, Baba Oshie. I ain't never seen so many white folks lie to each other before in my life.
Yeah, well, that's who they are. And, they're liars.
But the part that gets me is the other white folks, the Democrats, don't say anything. Or they say it amongst themselves, or they start screaming. Stop screaming. Mm-hmm. Let's have a – what is the plan? What if you want to be with these white folks – and see, this is the part that gets me. I'm going to stop after this because I was listening to the radio this morning, and these integrationists were talking about how upset they were and how this guy is this and that. But you are an integrationist. You're going to stay with these people until the wheels come off.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going nowhere. And what you don't understand is that white folks know that. They know mm-hmm. you're not leaving.
So they'll treat you any way they want to. So they'll treat your ass any way they want to.
You're not going to leave. They already know. You have no idea what's going on in Burkina Faso. You have no idea what's going on in the Congo.
Man, you have no idea
what's going on. You don't even, come on now.
Did you check out the last thing I sent you on Burkina Faso?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I'd seen that before. You sent it to me because I just got a T-shirt made of the Three Kings. I'm going to send you a picture of it.
Okay.
The Three Kings.
Right on.
Because these brothers are talking, they're making their own car, their own electric
they
car.
Did. They did. There's already a prototype out. Yeah. That's what I sent you.
Baba Oshie, that is the game changer.
Yeah.
Because when you start to manufacture,
that's it.
Then you no longer have to send your oil out and then buy gasoline from them. Gaddafi said use gold. We got more gold than anybody.
Yeah.
Stop using dollars. Use gold. And come on, brother. And that takes the white man out of the loop. It takes him out of the picture. He's no longer the middleman because the one guy said we cannot let them manufacture it. They have to stay poor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious, Baba Oshie?
Yeah.
You're going to keep the people down and you think that's the right thing to do to God? I don't serve that God that you serve because Baba Oshie, the Hidden Secrets Academy, and I was listening to the brother Robin Walker. You can look him up.
Mm-hmm.
This brother Robin Walker was talking about the Moors.
Okay.
And all the things that the Moors did and why you see all these black faces, these Nubian, these very dark people. And they couldn't lie about it. They tried to.
Mm-hmm.
But black people created. Blacks, they were living in houses mansions. And they had running water in the western part of Europe.
The Europeans were, in that medieval or dark age, 700 years, 711.
Yeah.
The Moors came in there along with the Sephardic Jews, and in 1492, they kicked them out.
Mm-hmm.
Europeans got together, said, we made war against ourselves. And, yes, they do, because they're the most violent-prone people on the planet. They are the ones.
Yes.
And they said, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And they kicked the Moors out. They kicked the Sephardic Jews out. So they're establishing the enslaving the people, going around the world in their explorations in their renaissance, their awakening, going here and there and taking everybody's stuff in the name of. Yeah. But we got some other callers here, brother.
Real quick, Baba Oshie, before I go, I am not a stupid person. I've never been considered stupid. But why couldn't I learn this in high school? Why couldn't I have been pointed in the direction of this in high school? Why did I have to get 60 years old before I learned about the Moors? Yeah. That was by design, Baba Oshie.
Sure.
Because I learned about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln because they freed us, didn't they?
Yassa.
Yassa. I love it. Django. Anyway, but Baba Oshie, get somebody else.
All right, dear brother. I hear you, brother. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, my brother.
Brother Jay, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, Brother Oshie? You and everybody see are on fire today, my brother. You are on fire. Listen, man. I just want to say, if the conditions in this country right now don't force us to wake up and come together, the old saying goes, nothing will. Because it seems that this sick, twisted, stupid debate on DEI basically is a joke, but it is extremely dangerous that it's being used in the rhetoric fashion that it is to do what? I don't know what it's being used for other than to discriminate and hurt people. And the sadness is there is no real DEI going on in the country. If you look at it in its true component. So, I mean, what next are they're going to come up with? So we as a people better wake up, man. And if we don't wake up, we just going to be in for things that, in all honesty, we're not prepared for.
Okay.
And the thing is, how does the country supposedly move forward? Because remember, every country has to move forward, man. You can't keep going backwards. If you look at what has happened, every country has moved forward over the last 50 years. I mean, look at India. Look at Japan. Look at China.
But Jay, of course, you know that the difference is that most of those are somewhat homogeneous countries that have done that. The people themselves, they don't have any, quote, different people they may label as minorities or different people they label as immigrants and so forth. They're pretty much, they are the people, the Japanese. The Japanese were able to do, after we dropped those two bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, look what they have done. Look at China. Look at China. China was one of the world's leading economies in the world. China was building shit that there were cities that were vacant. It was
look
all
at,
the multitudes
the
of people in China. Yeah. So you
look
know.
At this electric car that got this Joker Musk all up in an uproar. I think, or I heard something about Canada is trying to get it, but something to do with tariffs. I don't know. But the thing is, that electric car is phenomenal compared to this trash that Musk has. And this is the thing that people don't realize. There are 9 different models of that electrical car compared to, I guess, 1 or 2 from Tesla.
Okay. I don't know. But I saw that the brothers in Burkina Faso had a prototype of an electric
and
car.
$10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, prototype. But Burkina Faso, the only thing that I feel at this time Burkina Faso has to worry about is what the French going to do in regards to their leader.
Well,
are they going to be able to kill him
or not? Well, that's the bottom line.
All.
You got to protect him. And you got to expel, like all the other countries, you got to expel these mugs out your country and get everything associated with them, their currency, their forms of government. Take off them damn ugly-ass powdered wigs, you know, and restructure how the government operates on a local level, a regional level, you know, and a continental level. Because that's what it has to come to. But let me take some. I got some more other callers here, Jay.
My brother, call.
Okay, stay
right.
Hanging on, brother. Peace. Good afternoon, or good evening.
Oh, good afternoon, Baba Ochi, and how are you today,
I'm doing well.
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, brother Paul. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you for so many fantastic points made, Baba Ochi. But I just want your permission to address a few things.
Sure, go ahead.
We got to talk to our people, yeah? Right. You know electric cars. You know that's a gimmick, don't you?
Okay.
There's a hesitation because you don't realize it's a gimmick.
Okay.
Let me tell you why it's an absolute gimmick.
Okay, go ahead.
This is why we need serious critical thinking. I'm just going to put my critical hat on. Mm-hmm. Look, they're saying that they're bringing in electric cars here because of global warming, carbon tax, all this nonsense. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Okay.
But they run on electricity. You have to plug them in. So where does the source come from? Aren't they burning fossil fuels to provide the electricity? Aren't they using turbines which are burnt? And the more consumption, the more
or they may
in,
or,
the
or,
more you have to burn.
Or they may be using solar to produce electricity.
Now, listen.
You know
why they're not using solar? Let me tell you why they're not using solar, okay? Right. Most solar panels run on 12 volts. It's 12 volts. What they do with solar panels, they're made up of diodes. A diode takes the power from the sun and it converts it. Photosynthesis, okay? They're not... what you had to get the power up, you have to use... what's it called again? Step up. It's a step up transformer, but it's an inverter. Inverter. You have to use an inverter. Anyone with solar power know that. You have to use an inverter. Now, the problem with an inverter, it draws power, ampage. Okay? So there's not enough ampage to use solar panels. It's just not enough to draw that consumption. It's just not enough. Okay? So what I'm saying is, the only way they can do that, really, is if it nuclear station, right, which people are a bit frightened of because what happened in Japan, or the most convenient way is to burn fossil fuels.
But isn't that a problem?
Of course. Listen, that's why I say it's a gimmick. It's just a gimmick. Mm-hmm. The reason why they want to bring in electric cars is nothing to do with global warming. Let me tell you this. You can just do the research yourself. The reason why they want to bring in electric cars so they can absolutely monitor you and control your journey. They can switch off the engine. If you've got a warrant, if you've got a fine, if you've got child money outstanding, they'll just switch off the car. They just switch it off and you won't be able to move. You'll be driving, they just switch it down. These cars now, you everywhere they go, they're registered. That when you turn the engine off, it sends a signal back to tell you that it's turned the engine off. It's total, absolute control. You know, let me tell you another reason why it's a gimmick. Let me tell you 100,000,000% why it's a gimmick. Because you can run cars on water through hydrogen.
Yes, you can. Okay? Yes, you can.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So
and
that.
They knew that a long time ago. In fact, the Caucasian.
A long time ago, they knew this. Yes. This is why I say we got to wake up, man. We're in the dumb zone. Look, right? So hear what? They knew that a long time ago. You're 100% right. I actually watched the program where they built a submarine. You know them submarines? They can go under water for 25 years. 25 years, yeah? And what they do, they draw in the water. And they use hydrogen from the sea, the submarines. And they built that years ago. So they've known this years ago. You're 100% right. But these people are so, I'm telling you.
Well, let me just say this. Let me say this, though. Global warming is an issue. It is a fact.
Baba Ochi.
It is
Baba
a fact.
Ochi, listen.
The planet, it is a fact.
We're gonna, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but we're going to.
To me, there really is no argument or debate, because when you look at glaciers that are melting, when you look at other things that are happening globally, when you look at charting weather for longer periods, it has been the hottest it has been this decade, and it's only half open, longer than the other. These things are real. Hold on, Paul. These things are real. And I read an article. Hold on, Paul. I read an article on this way back in the 80s, sitting at the firehouse table, kitchen table. I read this long article. I read it in depth. And it said, if you don't do something about this, these things will happen. And damn it, that's what's happening. Go ahead.
Bob Ochi. Mm-hmm. You know, why I have to humbly and respectfully.
Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But I see it differently.
Okay.
Because what I do, let me ask you a question. In terms of the world, the whole world, right? How long has man, in percentages terms, how long has man been here?
Oh, maybe man, would you say 100,000? years, maybe.
Yeah, but in
Homo
terms
sapien,
of
you mean Homo sapien? You mean Homo sapien sapien, or just a Homo erectus, or Homo? You know, I don't know. But I'm not sure. I mean,
we've not even been here for 2% of the world development. No,
I agree.
About this world.
You're right. You're
we
right
know
about that.
Nothing about the world. Listen, the world. Listen, it takes 36,000 years for the world to circle around on a trajectory in the universe. 36,000 years to complete one circle. Okay, we don't know nothing how this world works, and when it's traveling, Baba Ochi, it has to change. So the polar caps have to melt. Okay, if it's traveling, it's on a trajectory traveling. It's not in a stagnant spot. It's moving. So obviously things have to change. We don't have no say in if the water rises or it goes down. We have no say in that. We don't control nothing. It's an illusion. We need to wake up. It's a total and absolute illusion. We control nothing. These people are mad people. They're psychopaths. And we follow their indoctrination and their madness. That's why we talk like this. We have no control over it. Absolutely none. You have no control over nothing. You see, in America, they give you this arrogant ideology that you control anything. You control nothing. All you do is have the ability to murder people, kill people, rape people, and put them in jail. That's all you do. But after that, right, you have no control over nothing.
Well, they definitely do that. Okay.
Right, so let me get back to my point, right? My point is this. This is my point.
Okay.
You can run vehicles on water, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Japanese, you can go online and check. They've built an engine, a whole engine in a car which runs on hydrogen. Totally perfected it. Totally perfected it. Okay? They've got that. So imagine, they've got a car that runs on hydrogen, which is the most abundant fuel in the whole universe.
Sure.
Now ask me the question. Why are we all using it? Why are we all using it? Because these psychopaths are only interested in controlling us.
Right.
That's all they know.
And also too money.
How to bully people, murder people, torture people, hang people, rape people. That's all they know.
That's it.
They're not that smart. I want to give them these titles like they're supreme and all this. They use fear. That's all they can use is fear. But after the fear factor, they're as dumb as the
breaking
born.
Up on me, Paul.
That's
listen.
The truth.
All right, Paul. Let me get another couple of calls in here, okay, brother? Just hold on. Appreciate you. All right. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother Oshie, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Kev. What's happening with you, brother? You been okay?
Not too much, man. I've been doing fine. Yeah, Burkina Faso, that's great. I think I saw where Zimbabwe is also producing a car, electric car as well.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that, but yeah.
Uh-huh. But look, what you say at the end, how do you close your show? Say, could you repeat the words you utilize when you close your show?
Well, I've had this. I mean, even the opening, I just developed it through time and it came to me. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for.
Now, with that being said, what is Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger doing? They have broken free of the mental constraints.
That's right.
With Europeans, they kicked the military out.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they say? We can do this ourselves.
That's right.
So what they're doing is bringing to fruition what Stephen Biko stated the theme that was the most important thing that we do.
That's
to free our mind and take control of our minds.
That's right.
And that's the point that whether the electric car or whether a gas car, whatever, the point is that they have decided that they are going to take control.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see Guinea, you're seeing Ghana,
Senegal,
Chad, Senegal, mm-hmm. everyone is looking and they're starting to fall yes. in line. And just, and I'll
yes.
end with this last point. Just recently, Nigeria became a member of the BRICS club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay. No, I know only one of the African countries of the BRICS was, of course, South Africa. And that's not because of mm-hmm. the Africans in South Africa. It's because of those Caucasians, those Afrikaners in South Africa who still have control
right.
of the military and have control of the money and have control of the diamonds. So,
right.
yeah. Yep.
But Burkina Faso and those two others, and they're leading the charge mm-hmm. to free our minds. But I just want to make that point, because how you close your show is exactly what they decided that they would do.
Right on.
By kicking them out and taking control. Yep. So that's all I have to say.
Right on, Kev. Appreciate you. How you been, okay?
I've been doing great, man.
Good.
Life is good here in Houston.
How was that snow, man?
It was only here for a day.
I know.
It was here, and the next day it was in the 50s.
Yep.
It was all gone. Yeah.
All right, dear brother. Peace to you. Have a good
weekend. All right,
weekend,
take care man. Now.
All right.
All right, be safe now.
You too. All right. Yeah, family, that's it, family. I appreciate it, Brother Paul, and appreciate Jay. Always appreciate Irv and all the other listeners, you know. Those who listen and sometimes call in and they'll just listen. I really do. I really do appreciate family. So we do end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Santi Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend, family. Peace to you.
Great show, Baba.